Seek to Understand, a podcast about holistic wellness and a bunch of other stuff, coming from humans with experience and shower thoughts. Not intended to serve as medical advice or treatment. We want to help you understand your why. Brought to you by Kelly Cash, Neva Wilkerson, and Brandon Johnson. Here we go.
Getting in shape can be hard. Finding time to drive all the way to the gym with everything else going on can be daunting, but it is super important. That's why my wife Trista and I have developed Fit From Home. Now you can get strong from the comfort of your own home. You need very little equipment and about 30 minutes of your time. You work out directly with us as we give you options for each exercise. You get access to daily workouts, informational presentations, and epic bonus workouts. You also get access to a private Facebook group full of people sharing a common goal. All of this for just $16 a month. Go to changeinmotionpt.com and click the Fit From Home link to sign up today.
You want to talk about burnout?
I don't care.
Why are you feeling burnt out? Why?
Why am I feeling burnt out? Because I'm at a crossroads and I've been doing this for so long and frustrated with society as a whole, the world as a whole, and feeling like I'm on a lily pad by myself in the ocean. You ever feel that way?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think it's just a lot of muck going on in the world right now that's, you know, that you can't even go to a Chiefs celebration ceremony without somebody shooting somebody up. Mm-hmm. And then you just think, what's the purpose? What are we doing? You know, so just burnout. I think it's just overwhelmed and doing expectations of what everybody else thinks I should do when I don't want to do it anymore.
So back maybe to the societal norms.
Yeah.
Or it ties in anyway, right? Have you experienced burnout?
Yeah. But it was expected. I was somewhere I wasn't happy. And, you know, you're not really... I was at a job at my last career was managing truck stops. And it's really easy to get burnout in a place like that. Because I was on call 24-7.
Back up. Mm. You managed truck stop?
Yeah. That was what I did in my entire 20s. Yep, I got a job at a gas station, and I guess I was pretty good at it, and they kept giving me money, and I just kept moving up the chain, swore to myself. It was really interesting. I was hired by a person that turned out to be one of my best friends in life, but he was significantly older, and I got to watch him dedicate and give himself to a job that never gave him anything back, right? He sacrificed a lot of things, and I swore to myself, I would never be that person. I would never let a meaningless job where all I'm doing is making making somebody else money, right? I would never let that control me. I would never let that dictate aspects of my life and stuff like that. But you're in your 20s, not a college degree, and they offer you X amount of dollars a year, and you're like, well, okay, I guess I'll do it for now.
Yeah, that looks pretty great.
Yeah, and then 4 years go by, and you're miserable, right? So... But I was chasing the money, you know. That's all I had that job for. I didn't love that job. I liked the aspects of that job, but yeah. So you have a job like that for long enough where you're on call 24/7. There's never every holiday, it never closes. You got to hire and fire and discipline and still be in charge of everything like that. It's really easy to get burnout. So yeah, definitely. But again, I wasn't happy and didn't expect myself to be happy, right? Mm-hmm. Like now, so in a job that I want, in a career path that I want to be in, I have yet to experience that, luckily. But it's been 3 years, and there's a lot of exciting. I'm in a stage of growth right now. I mean, every time I think I'm at a steady spot, Kelly mentioned something at a session that she thinks we should start a podcast, and so then so it's been a really exciting. So again, long answer short. No, not currently.
Yeah, good. So you said one thing, and I think that that sort of resonates with me in regards to times that I've experienced burnout is lack of growth. You know, when you've sort of stagnated in all that you can learn or do or achieve in that area. And some people, I think, are okay with that are just okay with that constant state. But for folks like us who always are interested in more or learning more, the constant why, I think that's really challenging when you get to a place in whatever career that may be where there is no more opportunity for growth.
I agree 100%. And I think it's an interesting, coming from my era of work ethic, because I am the person that I'm a 3 or 5 and out. So at 3 years or 5 years, it's 5 years max, I'm moving on to the next thing, you know, so.
Is it intentional?
Yes.
Okay.
It is. And so why? Because I.
Just for the shake it up aspect?
Because, I mean, once you get to the certain point of you've learned, mm-hmm. like I've maxed out what I can do here.
I gotcha.
I've maxed out what I can learn
I gotcha.
Here. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my career path has been, I started out in a photography company when I was young, but then in the medical profession, I was a dental assistant, an orthodontic assistant, and then I went to EMT school, quickly decided, yeah, I'm not an adrenaline junkie, that's not up for me, and then ended up going to, I worked in medical offices as a secretary, then I went to LPN school, then I went back to RN school, and then I went to massage therapy school, and so, and I've done multiple different jobs in all of those avenues, and so if you look at me, people are, like someone, like my oldest sister who has been in a job for 40 years and just stayed there and made all kinds of money.
Yeah, right.
She looks at me as flighty or jumping around. And people have said that to me before, you know, why are you leaving the noble profession of nursing to become a massage therapist? Well, because I think massage therapy is a noble profession mm-hmm. and there's more to learn and there's mm-hmm. more to do. And so the, and it's every, it's, so for me, it's not that I've jumped around. Everything is a building block for me to the next level of excitement or the next level of understanding to why we are where we at. And so it's been a journey for me, and I don't understand people that don't want a journey. I could not work for a company for 50 years. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. therefore here I am at the end of my working life, as far as the world says you should work until, you know, you're 62 or whatever, or 72 now. I don't have that padded 401k. I don't have
yep.
that padded retirement.
Yep.
But I've had one heck of a fun life learning.
Yeah,
and so,
that's right.
You know, so, you know, I hate to say on national radio that I, with all my clients that might listen to this, and I'm burned out, but it's really about the fact that I want to give them more and I'm not able to. You know, I kind of have maxed out what massage therapy isn't, but I want them to receive more. And so I have to figure out how to educate them and to get them excited about, hey, you don't need a massage every month. You're going to want to massage every month versus need. So let's talk about what you can do to make yourself better versus me making you better, or you thinking me making you better. So it's that, you know, and it's, but it's compound, I think, with what's going on in the world for me.
Yeah, for sure. I think I experienced very similar when I hated to say that I was burnt out in my career as a primary care provider, but I definitely in hindsight, I experience burnout.
Well, I think just because you do good things doesn't mean it's inevitable that you're going to love it forever.
Yeah,
right?
And that's the challenging part, because you sort of feel called to feel called to help people, right?
Yeah.
And so you want to help people however you can. And like, I'm letting all of these people down if I leave my practice. Who will they see as a primary care provider anymore? And so that's really challenging mentally and. You know, I think it's just, yeah, emotionally, I think, and I think that's a lot of where you're at. I don't want to speak for you, but it's challenging to step away from something like that, where you are in a caring profession, you're interacting with people day to day. But I think, yes, you said it well, that the everything going on in the world has certainly compounded mm-hmm. that. I think, you know, the COVID crisis, whatever we want to call that craziness, very much compounded the challenges of healthcare, and so I think probably led to a lot quicker burnout for me than.
I think in the healthcare profession, definitely, and educational professions, the COVID really exacerbated burnout for a lot of people because of the way it went down and how we were. I mean, it was just you were overtaxed as a healthcare mm-hmm. professional in COVID. But I think a lot of that too goes back to what we talked about in a previous podcast, and that was about, you know, letting people down. It's also about, because what makes me happy is, and what makes you, one of the whys, I think we were talking about a why one time, and I said, because I feel validated and needed. And so you want to, I mean, they're going to find other practitioners, they're going to find other massage therapists, they're going to find something else to fill the void, you know, but then is that a kind of a strike to my ego that you didn't really need me after all? You know, those kind of things. But I, so it's just an interesting thing for me. Too, I think it has to do with I don't think that you have, I'm not unhappy. That's just it. I don't hate my job. I'm not unhappy. I'm happy, but I'm exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm exhausted on trying to navigate the world that we're living in and listening on a daily basis to everybody I know is struggling. Everybody I know.
Mm-hmm. And you take on all that being a caring person.
Just being, I think, an in tune person.
Yeah, in tune.
You don't even have to care. You just have to be in tune to recognize everybody's walking through mud puddles and some people are stepping in quicksand. And so it's just exhausting. You can't turn on the TV. You can't turn on the radio. You can't open up Facebook without seeing heaviness. So that's why I went to Arkansas and went hiking and played in some
streams. Got away.
Yeah, got away.
Mm-hmm.
And did not turn the TV on.
So I think that segues nicely into what do people do about burnout? You know, we can talk about it. That's great. We've all recognized that we know what it is, but what do we do about it?
Before we talk about what we do about it, let's also talk about how do you recognize it in yourself or in somebody else?
Yeah.
So if you recognize it in your spouse or your children or your best friend or your coworker, you know, how do you recognize it in yourself? What are signs of burnout? Do you have any input?
Sure. Exhaustion, you said it. Exhaustion, you know, I think mentally it can be depression. There's that overwhelmed feeling that you can't get ahead. You're treading water, you're drowning. You maybe aren't sleeping because you just can't seem to find that peace in your life. And, you know, everything's just so. Like you said, you don't hate your job. Your job's okay. But you just, there's something else out there. And you just feel that sense of overwhelm.
And the one thing that I wanted to touch on that you just said is depressed. So that's one reason I wanted to talk about recognizing when you're in burnout versus depression. Because when you feel depressed, the first thing you're going to do is go to the healthcare practitioner and become dependent on antidepressants or put on some kind of a medication, or you're going to come up with other substances or food or something to feed that what you think is depression. And it's really not depression. It's burnout. You're tired, people. You're tired. So to recognize that, and to, instead of labeling it as something and just calling it something and treating that, go down to the deep cause of the why. Why are you feeling these ways this way? And then you can address, how do you take care of it?
Yeah.
So one of the things you do, you take a day off. It's okay to call in sick people when you don't have the flu or anything like that. It's okay to call in as a mental health day.
But I think that we all came up or of the, I don't know if it's generational. I think it's probably generational. That being a hard worker, you don't call in sick. You know, you don't miss work. You go to work. You're a hard worker. And so that can be very challenging in itself to say, I just need a mental health day. I'm going to call in. So.
I know. It is. It's hard. Well, Brandon says it all the time. All the good things to happen in your life are hard to do.
Yes.
If it's not hard, it's probably not good for you. And so I think that's true. And so that's very, very, very much where I'm at, because I came from, you get bucked off the horse, you get your ass back up on it, and you don't let them know you're scared.
Yep.
That, I mean, that's kind of the way I was.
You work hard. You don't call in sick. You take pride in never having a sick day in 40 years.
I had perfect attendance in nursing school, massage therapy school.
Mm-hmm.
Went to class with oozing blood in my mouth from having my two wisdom teeth cut out, and I still went to class.
But why? I mean, because that's
because you're a loser if you don't.
Right. But that's what is so ingrained in us. That is what is expected. That is the, and we talk about that all the time, because that's what we feel is expected, you know. And I think some of that culturally is just the American way of, you work hard. In European countries, they don't always.
I know. That's, you know, why they, I said the name of this podcast should be F Societal Rules.
You know, it's a society thing,
right? I don't
want
to live by societal expectations of what I'm supposed to look like and how I'm supposed to act.
Yeah.
Well, it starts in our public school system.
Oh.
It 100% starts. I mean, it's ingrained in us from, I mean, you know, especially being an adult now with a kid in school, you're like, you know, it's a lot of, it's just that. It's show up, you know, if you're sick, we need to know that you're not going to be here. You know, if you miss too many days, even if your grades are good, if you miss too many days, you're outside of our guidelines and we're going to have to punish you. Or, you know, and it's just these rules, these arbitrary rules. And that's, I think, one of the problems that the three of us had with the jobs that we did have is it wasn't the job itself. It was the rules and the red tape and the bureaucracy that we had to, you know, that's why we've all three branched out on our own, is because now we don't have anybody else to answer to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, because I'm very much an outside the box thinker.
Yeah.
I'm very an instinctual thinker and an outside the box thinker. And this is why I don't do a lot of, I don't do certifications. I don't get hung up on titles. If your Facebook page or your marketing page has all the initials behind your last name with what you, your certifications, I pass you up, because you're more about the titles than you are about what you can do. Because you can get it, you can get these titles, but what do you do with them is another thing. And the other thing about titles and certifications for me is that you go to one, let's just say for a massage therapist, John Barnes. So if I went and got a John Barnes certification for myofascial release, that's his framework of expectations of and guidelines for how to do that particular technique. There's more than one way to do that technique to come out with it. So I love to learn from multiple different people and multiple different avenues and not be caught up on the certifications. Mm-hmm. But we are. It's all about titles and money and cars and houses and the big stuff in the world. And I'm not. And so that's why I'm on my lily pad in the middle of the ocean by myself.
Feeling real burnt out. Yeah.
So
how do we fix it?
Erase the initials behind all your name. No, I think the first thing is recognize it, being aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Surround yourself with people that make you laugh in the closet.
Other
people, other like-minded people, even if they're not 100% like-minded, but they are motivators, inspirational. It could just be somebody that you love their smile and you want to hang out with them for lunch, or somebody that just makes you feel comfortable in their space. So be around people that make you feel comfortable with who you are, whether or not you agree with them. Sleep, rest, walk. My thing always is go-to is nature.
Mm-hmm. Reconnect.
Yeah, sure.
Reconnect, give up some things. So disconnect, I think, is part of reconnecting.
Oh.
Disconnect from some of that.
What's the first thing that you do when your computer goes down and you can't figure out anything else to fix it? You unplug it and plug it back in.
Or throw it against the wall.
Wait, what? Yeah.
But yes, good point. Good analogy. Yes. Unplug it and it's going
to
work.
What do you do? You reboot it.
Yeah.
You turn it all the way off and reboot it. And sometimes you have to turn yourself all the way off and reboot it.
Mm-hmm. I actually wrote a blog post about this, but last spring break, we went up to our hunting cabin for the whole week. My parents met us up there, and I took a bag of books that I thought I was going to read while I was there, and all, you know, this huge to-do list that I thought I was going to accomplish all of these things and come back so much smarter and refreshed at the same time. We did nothing.
I remember that because you
were,
that's
when
you
were doing fabulous.
I remember that. Because I said, what did you do? You went nothing.
Yes. We watched Modern Family on, you know, several episodes. My daughter has all of those DVDs. So
old school.
Yeah. So
depending on how old you are, you have no idea what she just said.
A DVD?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we only have a DVD player up there. We have no cable. You know, so we were disconnected and it was great. We just hung out. And so it was really, truly an unplug that I needed, but didn't realize, you know, it's okay. It's okay to allow yourself to do that.
I loved camp. Camping is the only time, even when my kids were little, because we camped a lot when they were little. That's the only time that I can actually sit and do absolutely nothing.
I have a solo camping trip on my calendar. For the
by
summer,
yourself?
By myself. I'm not going to go very far. I'm going to go down the road and park next to a lake and set up a tent and just stay there for a day and a half.
Yeah, good for you.
Completely by myself. I've already negotiated it with the wifeys and my son's not very happy that I'm going camping by myself, but that's the point. He'll live. But yeah, so self-care, that's a little bit of self-care. That's a little bit of disconnect. It's an alone time. I plan on letting them know that I get there and then putting my phone in my car and hope it dies,
mm-hmm.
you know?
That's exciting.
Yeah.
You guys can't see me. Yeah. I'm smiling because I think that is just the coolest thing.
Yep. It just sounds.
I think it's awesome, too, that you feel comfortable enough because a lot of people won't do anything by themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can you be by yourself?
Right. Yeah. It's always just like kind of one of those things that's just been drawn itself to me. And the older I get, the more I'm learning to lean into those things that, that organically speak to you. Don't question it. Just follow it.
Yep. Just do it.
Just go with it. As long as it's like,
take a notebook and a pen. I wonder what cocaine's like.
Don't listen to that one. Don't blindly follow your curiosity about cocaine. But if it's a solo camping trip. I've
never really wondered.
Really?
I was in a bathroom at a concert once, and this girl had a spoon, and, you know, there's some cocaine happening. I'm like, I don't know what's happening there, but I don't want any part of that. So.
Yeah. I've never tried it, but it sounds like fun. That's probably why I've never tried it.
I think I'd get jittery enough on an energy drink. And I saw enough people when I worked in the ER that hearts were doing crazy things after they've been on cocaine for too long.
Well, and nowadays you can't do that. Fentanyl's everywhere. And the first line of coke could kill you.
Yeah, because it's all laced with fentanyl.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yep. So don't do drugs, kids.
Okay, yes, there's our...
You just never know what we're going to veer off to.
We just veered to cocaine. Yeah. Public service.
Hey, you know what, though? I bet cocaine would fix your burnout. Just get coked up and go to work. I just love my job.
No, I don't think so.
I love my job.
I think people do use a lot of energy drinks and other substances just to keep going and keep doing it. And I think it's just the unplug. I mean, Neva mentioned camping, and that's one of my favorite places to be too is camping. Mm-hmm. And even the silliest things like preparing a meal is enjoyable when you're camping because you don't have all of the other stuff going on. It doesn't feel like a big deal to wash your dishes. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're home and you've got all these other competing priorities, it's all just another task. Well, those tasks are way more enjoyable when you don't have everything else going on.
Follow-up task after task. And you also don't have as much ingredients. I mean, you don't. So you just have, this is just what you have to work with. So you don't have all these other choices and decisions to make.
It's
simple,
right?
It's just very simple.
I don't know. We eat well, though, when we camp.
We never eat well. That's why my kids love to camp. Because we always had stuff that we never
got at home.
Yeah.
You guys know we recorded a happiness podcast and none of us ever talked about camping.
Well, here we are talking about burnout.
I think that we also winged that one, and we were all like, I don't know.
It was literally a pull it out of a hat thing.
Yeah. Because you and I both talked about, oh, I could have said this. Yeah. I could have said that.
Wait, this makes me happy. Well, apparently camping makes all of us happy, and nature makes us all happy, and that's a great place to go from burnout.
I'll provide a little bit more feedback on that burnout, talking about unplugging, resetting. I get myself a daily reset. Every day. That's what the gym, working out. It doesn't have to be the gym, but like give yourself time to take care of yourself, right? And unplug and listen to your music or listen to your podcast or whatever. But, you know, like it drives me crazy. People go to the gym and be on their phones, like check their Facebook and stuff like that. Like, why?
Do you know how many people come into my massage therapy room and put their phone on the table with them?
Yeah.
Or on the armrest or underneath the table so it's right there with them?
Yeah, that does not help your burnout.
I was the examiner doing the pap and pelvics, and I would have people playing Angry Birds or on their phone while doing that. I'm like,
Angry Birds is fun as shit, though.
I've never played it.
You do not.
Your pap smear, why not?
I mean, it's distracting.
I mean, I know you kind of want to distract out from that.
I've seen pictures on the ceiling at some offices that
I need to talk to you about what I'm doing down here. Yeah. I don't want to be down here all by myself, people. We need to talk about what I'm doing down here. I was like,
hello.
We're in this together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you engaged in other? Are you on your phone when you're trying to be intimate?
Yeah. It's like,
people probably are.
They are. It's crazy.
But yeah, I think that's a huge piece of the burnout too. Because maybe you're not at a position where you can actually leave your job. You know, maybe you need the income and you're just, I think a great thing to do is start looking, pray about it, you know, go unplug and think about it. But maybe you're not at a position to leave. And so as Brandon said, you know, find a way daily to unplug. And maybe that's just a little thing like leaving your phone in the kitchen.
I mean, if you don't go to the gym, go for a walk. Right. Going for a
do
bike
some
ride.
Breathing.
Hot baths are my thing too.
Mm-hmm.
Just soak in the bathtub. And I don't know, it's something about being, wash it all down the drain when it's done. I don't know.
Yeah.
There was a day last winter I took three baths.
Stick to me. We are very clean people around here. Showers and baths.
I don't know. You know, You know, Jesse's, he thinks baths are gross because you're sitting
human
in your
Most people do.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, human
you,
soup.
You think they're gross too. Yeah.
No, I get it. I take them every once in a while, but it's not my favorite thing.
So Tristan and I were talking about yesterday, and I had another thought about this, but as far as the unplugging goes, and apparently there was a huge AT&T outage.
Yes.
I didn't realize it because we didn't have AT&T.
Burnout. It was more than that. It was a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. And she's like, well, maybe it would be a good thing for us to not
we could
have
definitely, there would be worse things.
For, you know, it would. But people are so connected. It sets off this, panic. Everyone's frantic and panicked because you don't have a phone, so you can't call.
Yeah, there was a point in time in human history not that long ago where that was the norm.
It wasn't that long ago. Yeah. It was in our...
But the scary thing is that once the cellular service goes down, there is no other way. I mean, we don't have landline phones where you can connect. And so that's what's scary about
it. I have a buddy that's got a pager. He pulled it out the other day.
It still works?
Yeah, apparently. I don't know. It probably does. Knowing him, it works very well. Yeah. But I'll go back to the pagers, man.
I never had one of those.
I didn't either.
Jesse apparently did in high school. They'd cruise the strip.
Did he sell weed?
Page each other. Yep. No, I don't think he did. this guy I dated in high school sold weed.
Nice.
But that was
nice.
So a pager like that goes off that says you're needed kind of thing? Pager?
Yeah. That was the thing in the late 90s, probably early 2000s was...
if your mom wanted you to come home,
she'd page you and then you go find the landline and call your mom.
Yep.
Or your buddy or whoever.
I mean, because the only time I've had a pager is in a nursing. I mean, nursing field. And I do not want that when I leave.
I don't want a pager.
No, that's why I quit that job because midnight, the stupid thing would go off.
Mm-hmm. I also think back to burnout. You know, I think it's important to. We've talked about this before, but I really do think it's important to evaluate whether to piggyback on what you said. Do you really need the money you're making? Right.
Yeah.
You have to, I mean, for real, like, and I can tell you from experience that that's what I did. I cut my salary in half inside of 1 year to take a job that I knew would fulfill me spiritually and emotionally and all that stuff versus the soul-sucking moneymaker that I had, right? So,
I've done that more
and we've survived. You're right. So I think it really is important to stop thinking about keeping up with the Joneses and look at your own life. Like, I live in a small house. But it's cheap, and we've been able to save a bunch of money, right? Like, so it's not a big fancy house, but it's exactly what we need. It provides
because
the shelter.
Does that really matter?
Right, exactly. Yeah, but we don't drive big fancy cars, but every car we have is almost paid for totally, right? So we don't have any debt, so to speak. But
you have food on the table,
right? Exactly.
Your children are clothed, and happy.
Yep. But see, that's also so easy to say that. And I can speak from where I'm at because I'm closer to retirement age.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband is retirement age. And so it's really scary because they tell you, you know, it's going to take, I don't know how many millions of dollars to retire. And so, and you're always fearful that you don't have enough money. And most of the people that I know that continue to retire or continue to work up until they well past burnout, well past time to go on, is because of the fear that you don't have enough money. Because again, the societal things say, you know, you have to have so much money because then what if you have a car wreck and then you're in the hospital and you lose your house, or what if? And so it's all of this. I mean, like, I think that's a big part of mine right now is the burnout, is the sense of Wallace could retire. I'm going to be 58. And so we're close to that. But then you look at the bank account and you go, we're never going to be able to retire. I have more of my savings than I live off any given time in my life. But it's that whole thing of societal things of what we're supposed to have and that you should be have to have insurance. You have to have X amount of money. And so it's scary to think that. I've done several talks with students in high school about career preparation and career paths. And my thing has always been, with the people that ask me, I'm like, are you sure you want me to be the one to give that talk? Because I'm not going to say, graduate from high school, go get your 4-year degree, get married, buy a house with a white picket fence and a dog named Spot. Because I didn't get my first degree until I was 25. My second one was in my 30s. My third one was in my 40s. Still learning in my 50s. And never choose a career path based on money. Because if you go to work every day and you love your job, you're going to make way more money in the end than the person that took that career path for the money. I'm concerned about my kids right now because they take a mental health day or a sick day in the middle of the week pretty frequently. They don't like their jobs. So when you're doing that on a frequent basis, you're going to lose out on your promotions. You're going to lose out on the opportunities because you don't love going to work. So you shouldn't, your career path should not be based on money to begin with. But that's what we are, like you said earlier, in schools. What do they do in high school? They start setting you up for your career path and what kind of money you can make. And that's the research you're supposed to do. So it is. It's a societal thing.
You can be successful doing this. And
yeah.
And also the amount of people I know that have degrees that do not use their degree at all is astounding.
Well, you were talking about being a truck stop manager. We stopped at Buc-ee's on the way back from Arkansas last weekend. And you're familiar with Buc-ee's. It's the biggest anxiety-riven place that I've ever been in my life. When I walked in and they were screaming things like pulled pork sandwiches and people were going by. I was like, what is this place? So we walk out and there's this little billboard. A bathroom attendant makes $20 an hour. Just to work there, it's like minimum wage is $18 to $19. And then management is like $156,000 for the basic manager. But when I saw bathroom attendant for $20, I thought, I could do it for $20 an hour.
Yeah, but all their stuff is so expensive in there. No wonder.
I know. But what I'm saying is, if that's what makes you happy is to go clean up after people's messes, that job is needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is an essential job. So go back to the COVID crap. I'm sorry, there was no job that's non-essential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
None. I don't care what you do, your job is essential. You are essential. So I might just, after my sabbatical, come back as a, that's how I started my career. So I was a janitor for AB Chan's company.
I think I would be a waitress.
And you would be good tips.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I can make really good money as a waitress. I did it when I started my career when I was probably 9 or 10 years old.
You cook. You smile at me when you bring my pie. I'll leave you a big tip.
Yeah, you give me tip.
I'll give you tip. Because you're nice to me.
Yep. My first job was, I was 13, and I washed dishes at a restaurant. So,
my very first job was working at the Yum Yum Hut. I made donuts when I was 13.
Where was the Yum Yum Hut? In Centralia?
Yeah. Do you know where the old Forest Chevrolet was?
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
It's right across the street. It's now that Burton's has a
auto thing, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That used to be the Yum Yum Hut.
Very nice.
Coffee was 10 cents a cup.
And you didn't get burnt out from that job.
I did. I hated donuts for the longest time. I did. I was like, I'm never eating another damn donut. Never. And then I worked for... I was a janitor during high school. After school, I cleaned Hubble. That's where I met my husband. He was my boss.
Uh-oh.
We flipped that tide right around, didn't we?
Uh-oh.
Now who's the boss? Who's the boss?
Hilarious.
So I think, I don't know. I think there's multiple layers to burnout, but I think the biggest thing is to recognize it and identify it and to not jump into the depression, anxiety route. And there's multiple ways to tackle it.
I think you should have people in your life. You kind of said something about it earlier, you know, find three people or find two people to get in a closet with and talk. But even if it's not that,
you don't have to be in a closet. Friend.
Don't have to be in a closet, right? Don't
outside
have to be on microphones.
Would be lovely.
Yeah, but find a friend, you know, if you're lucky and you are married and you're lucky enough to be married to somebody that you consider a real partner, then lean on them. Hopefully, you know, you've talked about the 60-40
mm-hmm.
and 80-20. You know, if you guys can fill each other up at the time of the burnout and get each other through it, I think that
that's huge. You know, and I think the challenging piece of that, I think, is when you're in the midst of burnout and the grind of the day-to-day, finding time to schedule that. So you really have to be intentional about scheduling a date where you can just go sit without your children, whatever that may be, and you can have those conversations. Mm-hmm. Mine usually involve a notebook. So I can take notes. You have to do that for your relationship, I think, for yourself. And it can be challenging with mm-hmm. the grind of the day to day, but...
And it is not selfish.
No, it's important.
It is not selfish for you to take time for yourself. It is not selfish for you to say no or not right now.
I like that. Not right now. It's not as harsh as no.
Yeah. Not right now. You know, not this time.
Because you can't pour from an empty cup.
You can't. And so I think it's just important to recognize that when you're getting to that point. Unfortunately, I'm past it. My cup is overflowing. I'm not.
Your
really.
Cup is bone dry. Bone dry.
I think this week has just exacerbated it though, just because I'm not gonna lie, people were really talking about that when you were talking about the AT&T thing.
Mm-hmm.
People, I mean, there was TikTok things out there about what's coming down the pike, people. Yep. This was a test. And so then you're like living in fear.
Yeah.
And then I don't have enough to retire. I'm living in fear. I can't take 2 days off because I'm living in fear.
Well, if AT&T is the first step in whatever else is coming, retirement may not matter at all. I bet, you know, there's a really, really, really good chance that if they can do that, and that's, like I said, it is just a step one, that money will be absolutely useless to us plebs, us regulars that aren't one of the 0.01%, you know.
I've said that all along because I have,
yeah.
So
there's hope, people.
But during the last 4 years, particularly the last 2 years, people that are prepping and planning. And so I had somebody that was always wanting me to know if I had my buckets, you know, with your dry goods and your salts and all that kind of stuff. And I finally said, no, I don't. I told you. Well, do you want me to give you mine? No, I don't. Because here's the deal. If it gets to that point, I'm not out there by myself. The rest of the world is going to be in the same position I am. And all the people that I love and hang out with don't have buckets.
Yeah.
And I don't have enough in my bucket for them.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go with them. I'm just going to go hang out with them.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Yeah, you're going to find out who your real friends are if shit goes down.
But the thing is, I know all of these things.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that money doesn't matter. I know that I've always had enough. I've never been let down by my faith, ever. I've never been destitute. Poor, but never destitute. And I always know what the most important thing is. And the most important thing is my relationship with myself, my relationship with God, and my relationship with my loved ones. That's what's the most important. And I will never lose those things. So
they have no value.
They have no value.
I mean, they have incredible value, but they have no monetary value.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But those are truly the things that, I guess I'm saying this all over the place. Yeah. They truly are the things that have value.
Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know how I get to the point of feeling bleh when I know.
Yeah. And it sounds like you've spent some extra time on social media this week and probably had some clients that were a little more demanding or brought some negative energy on. So maybe you should unplug a little.
Actually, I haven't been on social media too much this week because I've tried to unplug a little bit. People have talked about what's going on. And I'm not on social media as much. I try not to be.
Yeah. I gave it up for Lent and it's been fabulous. And I should just give it up altogether. But
except for your podcast listening, people, don't give up your podcast listening.
I have been listening to those.
But see, that's the hard part too with that is because I always say that is one of the struggles of you and I talked about this when we were collaborating at the office. One reason that we weren't as successful as doing some of the classes and that was the marketing aspect of it, because the marketing all comes through the social media, and you and I were both like, well, we hate social media. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
The whole point of me not doing stuff is because I don't want to be inundated with the external world. But yet the only way to get out what I want to do is through that media. And so it's frustrating. So I think that actually mm-hmm. exacerbates what I'm calling burnout, is because trying to figure out how do you go forward against the grain.
Right.
And still succeed. Any answers?
Yeah.
Kelly and I are both looking at Brandon. Come on, Brandon. Give us an idea.
No, I think that's challenges that you and I talked about recently as well, you know, as far as promoting your business.
Yep.
And how do you do that without social media and without all the other stuff? But it's just the way society is. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I for the most part, choose not to participate in that. I don't post like I should. I'd have even had some of my clients tell me, like, you're not very active. And, like, no. It's like I can make myself do some things, but I can't make myself do other things, you know, like, so it works, and I've gotten a lot of great business off of it when I am. And also it's probably like the fact that I'm not, there's no desperation right now. I hate to say this out loud, but I'm like comfortable professionally,
yeah,
right? Like
yeah,
I don't need to be everywhere, and like, cause I don't have the room to take on a lot more right now as we speak anyway. So
that's good.
It is good. So I'm not fretting about like, ooh, I got to make sure I'm on top of people's mind today. Right. So it's just a soul sucker,
mm-hmm.
you know?
It is. That leads to the burnout.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because inevitably, if you post, you're going to scroll. And then when you scroll and you see the toxic stuff, and we were talking
then
about this morning. Like,
wasted
just
a half hour of your time.
Yeah, I was listening to something earlier, and they're talking about like something. It was on Twitter, and it's like 80% of the Twitter accounts are probably fake. You know, so everything
that was
something else
Tristan and I were talking about yesterday. She got...
she got TikTok.
TikTok, because she wanted to see what it was all about. And then she's like, I don't even think those
people
are real.
They're just plastic
people.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. And if you're not doing that, and we talked about that before, that 100% leads to burnout. It leads to depression and suicide and all kinds of stuff. I mean,
self-judgment.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you don't think that's going to contribute to how you feel about your profession, your job, especially if it's a job you don't want to do,
mm-hmm.
you're not necessarily proud of. Like, I was terribly unproud of what I did for
a
living.
Oh, so-and-so is making all this money on TikTok, and they look beautiful, and they...
Yeah.
It's not real.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
It's not real, guys.
Yeah, it's not real. So the faster you can get that out of your heads and keep it out of your kids' hands and heads, the better off we'll all be.
For sure.
Yeah. So my social media this week has been intentional. I've been following the state wrestling.
Oh, cool.
Oh, there you go.
Good.
Yes. Did y'all hear? Centroia has our first girl state champion.
I've been hearing about her for like 2 years. She's
Macy.
A beast. Yeah.
She's a freshman. Freshman.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, that's cool.
We had like 9 went to state, I think, and I don't remember how many placed. We didn't get any first place guys, but came home a gold medal with the girl.
That's awesome.
Very nice.
I know. Isn't that
cool?
That is cool.
Good deal. Awesome. Anything else about burnout?
No.
So if you have any suggestions for us for topics for the future, or want to talk to us about your burnout, or not sure if you could be burnout or need some ideas, please email us at...
You're going to make me say it? It's... You know, I think their mouths break sometimes. Email us at seektounderstandpod@gmail.com.
You do it so well.
Sure. It's practice.
Seektounderstandpod@gmail.com.
That's right. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Bye.